السلام عليكم ورحمة الله. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم، نحمده ونصلي ونسلم على رسوله الكريم، أما بعد، فقد قال الله تبارك وتعالى: واصبر نفسك مع الذين يدعون ربهم بالغداة والعشي يريدون وجهه ولا تعد عيناك عنهم تريد زينة الحياة الدنيا. صدق الله مولانا العظيم. وقد قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم: المرء على دين خليله فلينظر أحدكم من يخالل، أو كما قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم: رب اشرح لي صدري ويسر لي أمري واحلل عقدة من لساني يفقه قولي. سبحانك لا علم لنا إلا ما علمتنا إنك أنت العليم الحكيم. اللهم انفعنا بما علمتنا وعلمنا ما ينفعنا وزدنا علما. إن الله وملائكته يصلون على النبي: يا أيها الذين آمنوا صلوا عليه وسلموا تسليما. اللهم صل وسلم وبارك على سيدنا ومولانا محمد وعلى آله وأصحابه وأتباعه وأزواجه وذرياته. الله سبحانه وتعالى never ever commands us to do something which is impossible. If Allah سبحانه وتعالى commands us to do something, that is proof it is possible. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala himself declares it in the glorious Quran: لا يكلف الله نفسا إلا وسعها. Allah ta'ala does not burden a person, does not make a person responsible, إلا وسعى, except according to his ability. That means if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives us a command, then for fulfilling it is within our ability. And common sense also tells us that. You and I, if we had a very heavy object to lift, and we saw an old weak man, we would never tell him to come and help us carry this out. We would never, because we understand that he is unable to do it. If someone is unable to do something, you never command him to do that. Only a foolish person would do that. There's a young child of 2-3 years old, and you give him some work which is fit for an adult, people will call you foolish. Any sane, sensible person will only tell someone to do something that he knows they are able to do. So when that is the case for a human, then how can it be possible that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us to do something which is out of our reach? That is why in the hadith, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, "Ad-deen yusrun." Deen is easy. Deen is easy does not mean that if there is a part of deen that we find hard, then we ignore it. That deen is easy, that means I don't have to practice. Deen is easy means that Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is declaring to you and I that deen, it is possible to practice upon deen, all of it. And he is also telling us that it is possible to practice upon it and without going to extreme difficulty either. One is that I tell you it is possible. It is possible for me to pick up this object, but I need to exert myself extremely much. No, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is saying, "Ad-deen yusrun," deen is easy, meaning a person will have to exert himself. If a person doesn't exert himself, then where is the test? But if someone tells you, this test, it's easy to pass. That means if you make the effort, you do what you need to do, then more often than not, you will pass. That is what Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is saying, that the test of deen is easy, meaning if we do what we need to do, then we will pass. If we adopt the right methods to practice upon deen, then deen will, it will not take too much effort. It will not take too much effort and we will pass and we will end up in Jannah. So deen is easy. Meaning it does not require too much effort. Every command of Allah Ta'ala is perfectly possible. And when we say every command of Allah Ta'ala is perfectly possible, that means every command of Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala in every single era that Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala has given that command. It is not the case that in the time of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam and the Sahaba radiallahu anhum, this command of deen was easy. Practicing 5 times salah with jama'at in the time of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam and the Sahaba radiallahu anhum was easy because there was a ma'un. In our time, it is impossible. Incorrect. If that was the case, Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala would have revealed another command that when the mahol is not so good, then you don't have to perform 5 times salah with jama'ah. Allah Ta'ala knew the future, didn't He? When in the time of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, Allah Ta'ala knew that in 2023 in the UK such a mahol is going to be created. And still Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala said that until the day of judgment, this command must be practiced upon. So, for example, Salah Jama'ah, that means Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala knows that it is perfectly possible. Controlling the gaze. If a person says that in the time of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam that was possible, because people dressed modestly, it was a Muslim mahol. In our time, it is not possible. Incorrect. Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala knew that the year 2023 was going to come 1400 years ago. He knew it was going to come. He knew better than you and I, who are living inside, understand 2023. And Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala still didn't say at that time that when the mahol gets very difficult, then you don't need to do it. That means it is perfectly possible in our time as well. And there is proof. You will find many, many people who, in this era as well, they can control the gaze. They can perform 5 times salah with jama'ah. And I'm not just talking about people like me who work in a madrasa, masjid, mahol. No, people who work in offices. People who work in offices, professionals. They're able to do it. So why is it that you and I sometimes feel that some part of deen is impossible? We have accepted that every part of deen is possible. We can't practice on it. So why is it that you and I sometimes feel regarding a certain piece of deen, as regarding a certain command of Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala, that it is impossible for me? It's too difficult. It's beyond my ability. The reason for that is simple. Broadly, there are 2 reasons. The first reason is that shaitan deceives us. Shaitan, Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala, has not given him the power to force you to do anything. Shaitan cannot force you to carry out something. But Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala has given shaitan certain abilities. One of them is to deceive, to create an illusion if you want. And this is one of shaitan's best tricks. In fact, he uses this trick so much that Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala in the Quran gives him the name Gharur, the great deceiver, the one whose habit is deceiving, making something look like this whereas it is actually like this. So many a time shaitan makes a person seem that this command of Allah is impossible, so don't even try. Okay, I've got Dhuhr under control, Asr, Maghrib, Isha under control, but Fajr is impossible, don't even bother trying. This is the first reason. Shaitan makes it look like it is so difficult. And what a person doesn't realize is that when he decides that, no, I am going to do it, whether it seems too difficult or not, then the help of Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala comes with him. And when he starts walking the path, then he realizes that it's not as difficult as it looked. That is one reason. And there is a second reason as well. The second reason is that it is perfectly possible to practice upon deen. But that is if you use the right method. I always give this example. that it is perfectly possible to pass a driving test. That is why thousands of people pass every year. It is perfectly possible to pass a driving test. But let's say you want to pass a driving test, but you don't study the theory. You don't bother to find a driving instructor. Just when you feel like it, when you have time, you go into the car, see what you see if you can understand a bit, see if you can drive a bit. And then you keep trying. After 1 year, 2 years, 3 years, you take a test, you fail, and you say, and you take another test, you fail again, you take a third test, you fail again, and you say, it is impossible. If you say that to someone, they will ask you, have you studied the theory? It is impossible to pass the theory test. Have you studied the theory? Have you purchased a book that has all the deed notes of the theory? No, I haven't. And the person will say, you are foolish. There is a method that needs to be adopted to pass the theory test. You are not bothering. And we know the method works because everyone else has practiced upon the method. I did it, I passed the theory test. My friend, he purchased a book, he passed the theory test. So and so person purchased a book, he studied it, he passed the theory test. If you are not going to bother to do that, and then you don't pass the theory test, you only have yourself to blame. Same for the practical test. You tell someone, no, I've tried five times, six times, I just can't pass. Actually, have you got an instructor? No, I don't have an instructor. Oh, do you take regular lessons? No, I don't take regular lessons. They will say the same thing. But you, what world are you living in? They will say that to you. What world are you living in? You don't adopt the means and you expect to get the result. That is foolishness. In any sphere, any avenue, any route in the world, you don't adopt the means and you expect to succeed. I'm trying my best. I'm trying my best. Every day I go out, I go in my car. You're trying your best, but trying your best is not enough. You need to adopt the means that are tried and tested. I'm trying my best. Every day I go out, whatever sign I look at, I try to work out what it's trying to say. You are trying hard, but trying hard alone is not enough. You need to adopt the means which are tried and tested. It is the same thing here. Yes, a person needs to try hard. But sometimes we feel we try hard. I'm trying my best to practice upon the Fajr Salah. I'm trying my best to control my anger. Why is it not happening? It feels impossible to me. The reason for that is that there are certain means, tried and tested means, from the time of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, rather from the time of the beginning of mankind, from Adam alayhi salam, tried and tested means which make it possible and easy for a person to practice upon deen. And if a person adopts these, then slowly but surely, deen will become, practicing upon deen will become easier for him. And out of these means, there are three which are absolutely fundamental. Three things that with trying hard a person adopts these are absolutely fundamental, and they will go a long way to making a person feel that yes, I have the ability to practice every single command of Allah Ta'ala, and thereafter practically doing so as well. What are these three? I only wish to discuss one today, but I will mention all three. The first is frequently remembering, thinking about the hereafter, about death, about Jannah, about Jahannam. This is the first one. Frequently thinking about the hereafter. Death, that is the route to the hereafter, that is part of it. Jannah, Jahannam, those are aspects of the hereafter. Thinking about the reckoning, all of these come in there. What will happen to me in the grave? Part of the hereafter. Frequently thinking about the hereafter. That is number one. We will discuss this another time in great detail, inshallah. Number one. Number one is not the topic of discussion today. Number two, the dhikr and the remembrance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This also in abundance, with continuity in abundance, whether it is in the form of the glorious Quran, whether it is in the form of tasbihah, whether it is in the form of dua. This, when done in abundance, regularity, this also makes it much, much easier for a person to practice upon deen. And the third, and the final and possibly the most effective is good pious company. Good company. Pious company. This is possibly the most effective out of the three. And as well as being the most effective, from one point of view, it is the easiest. Why am I saying it is the easiest? Because to remember the hereafter, you need to do something actively. You need to take out time. Maybe you might have to read the hadith about the hereafter, virtues, warnings. Maybe you'll have to think, take out time for a few moments, think about death, whatever it is. To do the dhikr of Allah, you will need to take out time specifically and actively make yourself do something active, actively engage yourself in the glorious Quran. Actively engage yourself in tasbihat. It's not difficult, but you have to do. Pious company, all you need to do is make it a point to stay in that company. When you find pious, good company, and you stay in that company, then in that company you can be sleeping, but you will still benefit. In that company, you can be in the company of a pious person, but you are engaged in your own activity, he is engaged in his own activity. You are still benefiting. So from one point of view, pious, good company is not only one of the most beneficial ways, it is one of the most easiest ways to make deen easy for you. And because it is one of the most beneficial ways, it is also to a certain extent easy. A person may say that the dhikr of Allah is too difficult for me. Reading the Quran too difficult for me. Tasbihah too difficult for me. A person may say, it is not too difficult, but a person may feel. A person may say that for me to open the books, read about the hereafter, go to a too deep. But who can say that just staying in the company of a pious person? Find in pious company. We're not saying do a lot of ibadah in his company. Find in pious company. Make it a point that in my general day-to-day life, I will adopt the company of those people who are good. Who can say that is difficult? But company definitely has its effects. And the stronger the company, the better. Ordinary pious company, ordinary company of good people. Every person understands who has a religious mindset and who doesn't have a religious mindset. Deen doesn't teach us to do su'edhan about anyone. Su'edhan means to think low about anyone. Deen doesn't teach us that if we see someone who's not performing salah, what kind of person is he? He's going to Jahannam. The reason Deen doesn't teach us to think like that is because we don't know the future of anyone. Even a non-Muslim could accept Islam and go well beyond us. And we don't know our own future either. May Allah Ta'ala save us, we could take a wrong turning and go much, much further away from Deen than that person. So Deen doesn't teach us that think ill of anyone. But Deen does teach us that if someone looks irreligious, then avoid his company because it will harm you. And if someone looks religious, in general they have a religious life, then Deen doesn't tell us that. Go into the details, ask your family, is he really religious? What is he? No. If he looks religious, then inshallah his company will benefit you. So in your day-to-day life, try to adopt the company of people whose company is good for you. And if someone feels that in my day-to-day life, I find it very difficult to find good company. People in my family are not religious. People in my workplace are not religious. Sazan Mufti Shafi Sahib Rahmatullah Ali, the father of Hazrat Mufti Chakri Uthmani Hafizahullah, he used to say to people that if you can't find any good company, then the muazzin who does the adhan, who gives out the adhan five times a day, he is good company for you. Because he performs every salah in the masjid with jama'at. So ordinary people, like we said, people who have a religious mindset. Everyone has their faults, but you can see that they want to practice upon deen. You can see that they want to connect themselves to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to whatever ability. And on the other side, you have people who may have Islam, but no religious worry. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give everyone the tawfiq to worry about the religion and the hereafter. Then deen doesn't teach us hate them. Deen doesn't teach us think low of them. But deen does teach us that for our own benefit, for the sake of our hereafter, avoid the company as much as you can. This is the first thing. Generally, avoid evil company. In fact, there is 3 points to discuss here. The first is avoid evil company. The second, adopt good company, general good company. And out of good company, the more pious the person, the better the company. And at the top rank of piety are the Ahlullah. The people who are the special friends of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. People who is, when you look at their lives and you think that yes, he is on a very high level of piety. Adopting the company of such people is extremely beneficial. If there was anything, in reality, there is no magic wand in dini terms. There is no magic wand, meaning there is no thing that you don't have to make any effort and you will automatically become practicing. There is nothing like that. But if there is anything that gets close to being a magic wand, it is the company of the Ahlullah. Time tells us, if you look in the books of history, from the time of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam, that the company of the Ahlullah, the pious people, the special friends of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, people who have a very high level of piety, their company is, it's like a person, he is traveling on foot and he boards a plane. That is the difference in progress. And last week I was discussing that I had the sa'ada and the good fortune to go into the company of my Shaykh Hazrat Maulana Salim Durrat Sahib Hafidhullah, who resides in Leicester, for 24 hours and spent 24 hours there. And just by way of example, I am saying that so you understand the benefit of the company of the Ahlullah and the special friends of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And you make it a mindset that from time to time, whenever I get the opportunity, I will try to find someone. I will make dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that, oh Allah, give me pious company, grant me the company of the Ahlullah. If we understood how important this was for our deen, we would make dua for it. In the good old times, they made dua for it. In the times of the tabi'in, there was good company everywhere. But still the tabi'in used to make the dua. That Allah, find a good company. Find me someone pious for company. There's an incident in the books of hadith that a tabi'i, the name escapes my memory. He traveled from one city to another for some purpose or another, whatever it was. And when he went there, he went straight to the masjid. Straight to the masjid, performed 2 rakat salah. After 2 rakat salah, he lifted his hands. And he made the dua, Allahumma zuqni jaleesan saliha. Oh Allah, find me someone who is pious. I don't know anyone in this city. Find me someone who is pious company for me. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accepted the dua immediately. Sayyidina Abu Darda radiallahu anhu, the sahabi of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, was in the masjid and he heard these words. The company of a sahabi, where can you find better company than that? And the company of Sayyidina Abu Darda radiallahu anhu, a very prominent sahabi. So this is so important that the tabi'in in the golden era. Golden era means there was pious company everywhere, but they still saw it fit to make a dua specifically to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. First dua when he got into a new place. First dua when he got into a new place wasn't, oh Allah, help me make arrangements for food. Help me make arrangements for a roof over my head. First dua was, oh Allah, find me some pious company in this place. So in the golden era where there was pious company, they understood the importance of pious company. And how quickly it makes a person reach the goal. How easy it makes deen practicing for a person. A person's whole mindset changes. And without even realizing it. So I will say that just by way of example, real life examples from our day and age. So we understand. From the Darul Uloom where I studied, the cook there, non-Ali. You look at him, he's an ordinary person. Yes, 5 times namaz, he has a beard. Where is Islamic clothing? You look at him, he seems like an ordinary person. But the people there who work there, who are in that area, they have the good fortune to spend a lot of time in the company of Hazrat Maulana Salim Sahib Hafidhahullah. So he recently became ill. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give him mukammal shifa. So when he became ill, then he came to Hazrat and discussed his treatment, etc., and his timetable. So it came to light that he, non-Hafid, you would see him ordinary person. He did 7-8 juz of the Quran a day. And recently, 1 or 2 years back, you know, when we hear the incidents of the people of the past, that in Ramadan they used to read 1 Quran a day in Ramadan.
And we think, in our time it doesn't happen anymore. In our time it doesn't happen anymore. And I even used to think, in our time, you get the occasional person, otherwise in our time the barakah in time has gone. We hear that Imam Abu Hanifa rahmatullah used to read 60 Qurans. Imam Bukhari rahmatullah used to read this many Qurans in Ramadan. So we think that was the past. It's not possible in our time. It's possible. So recently, just 2-3 years ago, I'm giving you incidents from the 21st century so that you understand that through the company of the pious. Firstly, there is the pious company is still available in our time. And secondly, how far it can take a person. So Hazrat Mawlana Salim, I heard from him himself mentioned one that 2-3 years ago. 2 or 3 years ago this was, he mentioned it, that in Ramadan, I think it was the year after the lockdown, he mentioned to the students, in some incidents of the pious predecessors came of people reading one Quran every day in the month of Ramadan. So he mentioned to the students there, who were spending the whole month of in Atika, that, you know, let's see if we can reach that target. So that year, there were some students who read 36 Qurans in the month of Ramadan. What I'm trying to explain to you, that this is, if we live in a total thing, this is impossible. But pious company makes a person progress so fast. So, this is something that we should make it a point. We should ask the ulama, that, you know, who is pious company for me? Guide me, who is pious company for me? And thereafter, I'm not saying that spend 24/7 time with them. That is not possible. From time to time, go into the company. And go into the company, if there is a talk going on, adopt the company of pious people. Doesn't mean go and sit in the talks. If you can find the talk, alhamdulillah. Sit in the company means, if you find that there is a pious person in our locality, he reads Salah in this masjid, go and read Salah there from time to time with the intention that at least during Salah time, I will benefit from his company. Company benefits a person. That person is facing the Qibla, you are facing the Qibla, he hasn't even seen me, I haven't even seen him. No matter. Company benefits a person. How strong is good company? And we will end on this. Nowadays we think that it is talks and words that benefit a person. And talks and words, dini programs do have the benefit. I'm not denying that. But when a speaker sits on the minbar, when a speaker stands up in front of the mic, then one is the words you hear. And the other thing that happens is that the piety which is in his heart, the effect of his pious company affects you. So if you have a speaker sitting here who's fantastic with words, he keeps you hooked for 2 hours. When the bayan finishes, you don't even realize time has passed. And you wish that he could go on for another hour. And you feel that you have learned so much in his talk. So much knowledge. But if his heart doesn't contain piety, then you will not gain the ability to practice. And if there is a person who sits here and who delivers a talk which is not so flowery, it's not so eloquent, maybe 20 minutes in, you are thinking that when can the talk finish? But his heart, he has piety in his life. Then his heart is full of noor. And when you turn a light on here, then the effect reaches till the end of the hall. So when the person sitting on the minbar, his heart is full of noor and you go into his company, that light touches your heart as well. In some verses of the glorious Quran, in a verse of the glorious Quran, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has been described as Siraj al-Munira. Siraj al-Munira, according to some Mufassirin, translates as an illuminating lantern. And according to other Mufassirin, have translated as an illuminating sun. And the commentator of the Quran has said, this refers to the heart of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. That whoever would go into the company, it was full of noor. So it would touch them as well. So find pious company. If you hear that there is a talk of someone going on, and you ask the ulama and they say, yes, this is a very pious person, a very, very pious person, then make it a point to attend the talk. Even if the talk is in a language you don't understand. If the talk is in Urdu, go and attend and sit for 10 minutes. Sit for 10 minutes with this intention that I am just benefiting from his company, then I will go. You might not understand a word in that 10 minutes, but his pious company will have its effect on you. So I will end on this. I was mentioning how strong pious company is, and you don't even need to hear any words. Someone, a Sahabi, a companion of Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Every single Sahabi in spirituality, in progress in deen, is of a rank that no non-Sahabi can reach him. This is the aqidah and belief of the Ummah, of the Ahlul Sunnah wal Jama'ah. That every non-Sahabi, even the unknowns meaning we don't even know the name, there will be many Sahaba whose name we don't know, is so high in spirituality, in ranks in the hereafter, that no non-Sahabi, be it the most famous of the famous, Imam Bukhari rahmatullah alayhi, can reach that rank. What's special about a Sahabi? The only thing special about a Sahabi is that in his life, at least once, his eyes fell upon Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam. But just Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam's company was so strong, his heart was so full of nur, that just those his eyes falling on Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam, be it from a distance, and be it he never heard a word from Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam, was enough to raise him from that to that rank of spirituality. Make him progress so far in the hereafter, in an instant. We don't have the company of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam, but we still have pious company. And just looking at pious people is beneficial for a person. I was once in Leicester in the Darul Uloom when a pious alim from India came. As far as I can remember, it was Hazrat Mawlana Arshad Madani rahmatullah alayhi, a well-known alim of India and a very pious personality. And his program was held in a nearby masjid. And arrangements was made for everyone to go. I was in khidmat that day. Khidmat meaning that I had to clean up the dastarkhan, the food arrangements for the guests. So the guests ate, they went to the program as well. And I was cleaning up. I cleaned up, then I thought to myself that maybe the program is still continuing, I will go. So I went and I was going. As I was going towards the Azam Masjid, my Shaykh and teacher, Zaman Salim, he was coming down with a group of people. So I understood the program has finished. So as I met him, Hazrat told me that quickly, quickly go. Because the program has finished, but you might be able to catch a sight of Hazrat Mawlana Arshad Sahib as he leaves. You might say, what is the big deal about catching a sight? No. If a person adopting the company of pious people is fantastic. And if a person can't adopt their company, looking at them is also beneficial. So the purpose of this is that let us make this a point. If we make this a point in our life, over time we will see inshallah. And it is my own experience, and every person who has gone into pious company will tell you that many aspects of deen which they thought were impossible not only became possible, but they came under control without much difficulty. They come under control to an extent that a person never said, people who before they went into pious company, they thought, I can never control my anger. After adopting pious company regularly, they will tell you that I haven't lost my anger in years. People who before they went into pious company, they thought to myself, I can never control my gaze. After they went into pious company and over time, then a time came when they would say, that I can't remember the last time I misused my gaze. But this is one of the secrets, you can say. One of the easy methods. So let us make this a point. In our we will summarize. Number one, avoid the company of irreligious people where possible. Number two, in our day-to-day life. But in our day-to-day life, we will not always find the company of the special friends of Allah Ta'ala. But in our day-to-day life, people who are of a decent level. And number three, if we can make it a point from time to time to try and find one of the special friends of Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala, ask the ulama, and go into the company even for half an hour, then this will take us very far indeed.
May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us the tawfiq to practice upon what has been said. Ameen wa akhiru da'wana alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen. Sallallahu ala nabiyyina Muhammad wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in. Subhanallah wa bihamdihi subhanallah wa bihamdika nashhadu an la ilaha illa anta astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk. I could go on for another half an hour, but Uthman already told me before the program that he is hungry. And the program is kept in light of everyone who is sitting in front of me. So afterwards, say Jazakallah to him.